And I said this morning is themed a call to serve, responding to God's revelation. And we're going to have three little readings from Isaiah, starting in chapter 6, verse 8. Let's bring the first one up. So you probably recall that Isaiah has seen the seraphim and he's had his tongue touched by the hot coals from the seraphim. He's been made clean. And then he hears these words from God. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Then we move on to chapter 60, the glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. In verse 19 onwards. The sun will no longer be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of sorrow will end. Amen. Sat, would you like to come and share God's word this morning?
Good morning. I must say, warm warning. The weather has been really good for some struggling, but it's the sun out there. And people keep asking me, India is much warmer. Yes, it is, 45 degrees, and we are out and about playing cricket. But the heat is different. But we praise God and we worship Him in all ups and downs, the good weather, the bad weather, the good things and the bad things, because our God is one constant aspect in the world. This morning we are in the last sermon for the sermon series which we started at the beginning of the term. Ollie, can I please have there's a PPT that I've said. I don't know if it's synchronized there. Yes, it's loading. Yes, thank you. And we started this sermon series, and the title was One God, Hope in the Middle of Our Story. And we started looking at the book of Isaiah, which is really rich, challenging, and a hope-filled book. Isaiah is often recognized or referred as the gospel, fifth gospel. Because there's so much that Isaiah talks about God saving his people. While going through the Isaiah, we spoke about different aspects and characteristics of God, and every sermon was themed or titled according to that. But the reason why we chose to focus on God and the story of what was happening in during that time was to help us refocus, not that we were not aware of the fact, but for us to remind ourselves that God is very much present, and I would say that word interwoven in our stories. You know, the image that I chose when I was thinking of making the cover for the sermon series, this was the image that I couldn't move from. Because just like the fabric where different threads are interwoven into one, and if you take one out, you know, generally we have one thread that comes out of our dress or shirt and you try to pull it and then it just disturbs the whole thing. When we were kids, it was a fun. You know, you pull out, it comes, and then it just threads apart. And then you said, "Mom, I need a new shirt." But God is present in our life like that. At times we might not realize it. At times we might not take time to see His presence in our lives. At times we might not recognize it. But He is there. Ups and downs. Doesn't matter how close you feel with Him. Doesn't matter how sinful your life is and how far away you're walking away from God. God is still very much there. And that's what we see in this book of Isaiah. That God was with them. God did not turn their back away and say, I don't want to talk to these people. They don't really listen to me. They're really bad. I'm going to walk away with them. No. God was there. And that God is very much present and participating in our lives. You know, during this sermon series, we saw quite a few characteristics about God. And these are few characteristics that we have looked at. And there's a lot more to God and God, lot many characteristics of God that are there. But these are few that we focused in our sermon series. And these characteristics and aspects of God are there in our lives. We have experienced them. We have heard stories about God's aspects from other people's life stories. Sometimes we would say, ah, yes, that's my God, the God of Creator. Because when we go to a beautiful place and all those things, we say, oh, yeah, that's my God, God, my Creator. If you're in a big trouble and we find a way out of that and we don't know how things sorted out, we say, yes, my God is my Redeemer. See, He saved me from this. And we have experienced God. But before I begin and get into my text this morning, I would really like to give opportunity to the church family. If you would like to say, yes, this particular aspect of God is something that I've strongly experienced in my life. And I have a story to tell about this. So when I'm saying story, 2 minutes, short story. It's our time.
I think for me, the most precious one that comes to mind is the God who brings comfort. Whether you're feeling well or not feeling well, had a lot of that in our house. Whether you've lost people, which we've had a lot of that of, but that actually God's there no matter what. And He does bring comfort that you don't have to put on your jazz hands, which I'm of a want to do, but you don't have to do that with God. He will sit with you in your misery and doesn't expect you to start doing the can-can.
Anybody else?
Well, actually, that has been saying to us, I know we believe in God, but we need to consider other people who need help to learn about God.
Thank you, Margaret. That's a good reminder. You have summed up my sermon. Now I don't need to preach.
The faithfulness of God.
The faithfulness of God.
Or when you've had a long life like me and you look back over the years and you see through everything, God just never leaves you. And you might draw back a little. He's always there to bring you back. His faithfulness is just wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, it's God the Creator. I don't think you're all going to be able to see this, but that was a photograph of the moon last night that was taken from a bedroom window by Isaac, not myself. I'm not going to take credit for it. And just looking up at the night sky and the moon and the stars, it just made me feel very, very humble and very, very small. And I thank God, literally, that I have a Father who created the heavens and the earth and who loves me. Despite all of my weaknesses, and when I let him down, he loves me.
Thank you. Sorry, I'll just come back.
For me, it's the God who redeems. So, like all of us, I've been through various trials in my life, and through your spiritual walk of faith, you learn more and more just to humble yourself and leave it with God and trust in Him. And then so often later, it might be a week later or a year or years later, you will see God redeeming that very situation that you were worried about. And of course He does, because on the cross He paid for us completely. And so He is the God that redeems.
Thank you.
I'm quite sure that most of us can relate to the faithfulness of God. When we start a journey after receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior, we do know that we are on a journey too that we need to be aware of, a journey where the enemy tries to cause trouble. And I think, as I say, most of us here would experience different things in our lives that we really have felt under attack. But whenever I look at Scripture and find the reassuring verses that God has given, I'm so thankful and so grateful for Him. And I have the faith and the reassurance of knowing that He will still be faithful right to the end of our lives. So I just want to say thank you to God for that.
Thank you. And I'm sure if we've all become full of confidence and remember everything and all that, we would have so many stories to share this morning. We would be able to spend next few days talking about those stories, because our lives are full of stories of God's presence in our life. But then my question is, what's next? You know, all these wonderful, beautiful experiences is like Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to verse 7, which we haven't read this morning, but it says that Isaiah saw in his vision God. And he saw who He is. And in a way, in all our experiences, we have seen a glimpse of God in our lives. But then the question is, what's next? And Isaiah was asked the question, like, who will go? You know, if we look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, that the verse that we read. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to His people? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here I am, send me. A very common words that we have often used and heard in the church. Here I am, send me. But what these words actually mean to us? We can write stories after stories of God's experiences and God's doings in our life. Sometimes we would easily forget them because our life is so busy that something happens in the morning, by evening we forget and move on with life, and we don't remember them till the time something again happens and we say, oh yes, that time God helped me, or that time God did this. Now I know whom I trust. You know, when God called Isaiah, I have often briefed the history of people of Israel. They were really good, very faithful, very obedient, always walked with the Lord and did everything that God told, and God was really happy with them. Right? No, that's not their story. They were in a circular journey. God saved them. They disobeyed. God punished them. God saved them. And that circle of life, continued with them. Not the Lion King one, okay? It continued with them. And that's what we see. And even when Isaiah was called by God, people of Israel hadn't realized that how bad their lives were. They, at any given chance, would be more than happy and willing to stop, worship the Lord, and do everything else. You know, the place that God had promised them in the book of Exodus, they're saying that I'll take you to the land flowing with milk and honey. God brought them to that place, but then they took that place and moved everything that God had promised and did what pleased themselves. And to such people, to save and to love and to show them the right direction, God called Isaiah saying, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." My dear church family, the call that God gave to Isaiah is also for you and for me. The world hasn't changed a bit. Things, there are glimpses of positive things happening, but there are still loads and loads of people who are unaware of God's presence in their life. Who are not even sure, maybe, that God loves them. In fact, I keep telling this to Salome, and I think it's a very useful fact for us to remember, that the world is trying everything in its control to disprove that Bible is the truth. You take any element and aspect of God, the world is trying to bring their own views on that. And we live in that world. We are part of that world. I was about to say, as soon as we step out, but then I stopped that. Even at times within the church family, including me, I would be wrong to say I'm a righteous man. I'm not. We fail. I fail. I might give a nice sermon on Sunday morning, and Sunday afternoon I go home and I would do something that would really make God angry. But you know, the difference between those who don't know God, who God is, and us, is that we know that God loves us. We know that God, I'm sorry that I failed in this, but help me to move away from this. My dear church family, God wants his people to go and tell the world that he loves them too. And that's the call. Yes, God is good. God loves. God is a God of justice. God is a God of creation. God is faithful. God is sovereign. God is holy. God is so many things. Jehovah Jireh, you know, my God shall supply all my needs. We have all these things. God, good. That is the vision that Isaiah had about God. He saw God, and we have seen God in and through different experiences of our life. But we cannot take those experiences in our life and turn back and say, yes, that's my God. I'm not really thinking and bothered and concerned about the world. That's my God, and I'm happy with that God. But that's the type of life many a times we live. The call to serve God is not on Sunday morning 10 to 12 only. It is equally important. But it is a call to serve God is to go out and serve him through everything and anything that we do. Be it in your house on your own. Be it having a tea or coffee with your friend. Be it just walking on a street and looking at things. You know, last 15 days I saw two people on two different occasions bitterly fighting on streets. I thought twice to stop my car and talk to them. But I looked at my color and thought, no. Sorry, not to say, not. I'm not saying, but sometimes, don't get me in the wrong way. But I thought, not the best thing. But I prayed for them. That's the least we can do. That's the best we can do, and that's the least we can do. But if God gives you courage and right words, step out. You don't have to say, hey, stop. Just maybe ask a simple question. You might get a punch. That's a different story. Don't blame me for that. But that's what serving God does. You have to stretch yourself. You have to go out of your comfort zone. That's another problem these days. God, that's my comfort zone. I'm more than happy to serve you in this corner. Think of Isaiah. Isaiah went out in a marketplace and told people, if you don't return or if you don't ask forgiveness, God will judge you. He was not at all in his comfort zone. Do you think that was the best thing? He was really ready and all prepared for that? No, no one was. No one is. Jonah was not. We know what happened in the story of Jonah. God called Jonah, told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah thought, oh, that's too much. So let me not go to Nineveh. So let me go to the other direction. God pulled him, put it in the belly of fish and said, go to Nineveh. And after that experience, he couldn't say no. He did. And even when he rejected initially to serve God, God used him. My dear church family, call to serve is a call to our lives. But my question is, are we willing to say, here I am, send me. Here I am, God, tell me what you want me to do. You know, well, I was preparing for this sermon. The other passage that brought very strongly to me, or the other passage that I often refer whenever I want to remind myself who God is Exodus chapter 3. Any idea what happens in that passage? It's a call. Yeah, someone's saying, yeah, go ahead, confidently. It's fine, we can be wrong. I can be wrong with biblical references. It's fine. It's a call of God to Moses. And I really look at this passage and I read this and I think Moses must be really pessimist and introvert. He is just finding out reasons after reasons of not doing it. I mean, imagine you're standing in front of a bush which is burning. But I like the verse where it says he saw. Yes, in verse 2 it says, though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. That's the power of God. And he was standing in front of that. And even then he had reasons to say, oh, sorry, I cannot serve you because I cannot really talk to people. I cannot speak. That's us. We have experiences after experiences of God doing great things in our life. Maybe not great things. Maybe not always he has rescued us. But we have experiences after experiences where he walked with us even when we were going through the most difficult times of our life. And when we finished, and I suppose I'm sure that there are many here this morning who would agree with me saying that when we were going through the difficult times, we couldn't understand why it's all happening. But when we went to the end of it, we understood what God was doing through it. Agreed? And still we stand and say, God, I cannot do it. I'm sorry. That's not me. My dear church family, a call to serve is a call to life. And this call is not dependent on our skills and who we are. Sometimes we see opportunities and places where we can serve the Lord. But we think, oh, but that's not me. Oh, I cannot really tell someone about God's love. Oh, I cannot really pray for someone. That's just me. How can I do it? But God, a call to serve is a call to life. And God told Moses that I am with you. You know, the second passage that we read here this morning, Isaiah chapter 60. And I'm not really going through the whole passage there, but I would like to draw your attention on verse 1. And it says, "Arise, Jerusalem." And I really want all of us to do this exercise, to replace the word Jerusalem with our names. Because this is very much true for each and every one of us. "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see." In fact, we should just remind ourselves one another thing. "Arise, Sat, let your light shine for all to see." I'm a minister, so naturally it comes to me, right? But it's for every one of us. It's not just my responsibility. Church is not a spectator sport where we come on Sunday morning to say, "Whoa, that was a wonderful service. I go back home. See you next Sunday for next show." It's not that. It's a lifestyle. "For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you." It's not our light. It's not our abilities. It's not what we are capable of. It's not what we are good at. But it is God who does things through us. Jonah ran in the other direction. So he almost had no confidence that I would be able to go and save one person. But what Jonah did, he saved the whole city. Moses had no confidence. Moses gave up excuses after excuses. But what he did was he stood against the superpower of that time. He went against the strongest army of that time. There was no need for him to take a sword. There was no need for him to put a military strategy in place because he had God with him. You know, there are three words that are written here on the screen: reverence, aware, and intentional. You know, when we experience God, our life is full of reverence for him. You know, we live a life which is constantly in awe of God. You know, I often say this, and I will keep repeating this forever in my life. I never imagined that I would ever become a minister. Forget about preaching and all mini bits that I do here and there. I have so many things that I can make a long list of that makes me not an appropriate person to be standing here and sharing God's love. To begin with, my English is rubbish. I make mistakes. It's fine. I know people say, "Oh, don't keep telling this," but then it's good. I know I keep improving. You know, sometimes I say things at random, which you'd say, "Why is he saying that?" But we all are. And I'm not saying that's only, we all have our own things that we think, "Oh, that's because of this." But when we see and experience who God is, all those things doesn't really make any difference. Because God enables us to live a life that is full of reverence for him, knowing that he is bigger. But as I said, it's not the end. We are called to live a life, to serve him through our lives. But then there's a question. How does this call look like for you and me today? And this is a question for us to share. not everyone is called to go out in a marketplace and say, repent. But if you're called, do it. And please know God would help you to serve him. But what does this call of serving Lord looks like in our lives after 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon? Or like I said in last week, on Monday morning, or Wednesday at 3 o'clock, or Thursday at 12 o'clock at night, if you're not able to sleep, but if you're scrolling on your phone screens, how does that call look like then? You can tell what you think. I have a mic in my hand. Prayer. See, prayer is one constant aspect of serving the Lord. And prayer always need not be getting on your knees and praying. Prayer always need not be three-part thing. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you. And then, Lord, this is the concern. And then telling God, yes, we know you listen to our prayer. Yes, it's good to pray like that. But it need not be in that structure all the time. At times you look at things and, God, I just pray for this person. God, I pray for this situation. Just take the situation in your hands. If you read a good thing, if you get to know something good has happened, praise God for that. Every step as you walk, there is something to pray for. You know, that's what we did when we went out as a whole church in different cafes. That's the whole exercise that we want to get actively involved with, because we want the church family, for all of us to become lifestyle in that way, where wherever we go, whenever we go, we pray for people, we pray for places, we pray for situations that come around us. Whatever we see, we pray for that. What else? What does this call to serve looks like in our life?
Being interruptible and responsive to the people around us when they have a need, and being available to them, just listening to God at that same time that you're listening to people.
Thank you. Being listening, being available. Sorry, I can see three hands. I'll go to Rachel and then I'll come to, before I take any wrong names, I'll not take names.
I think for me what comes to mind is two things. One is do not compare. I think as soon as any of us look left or right, we can look at other people and say, well, I can't do what they do, or I can't speak to people, or I can't do this. And I'm sure that's what Moses does. Like, why are you calling me? Why are you choosing me? So it's really hard to do that, isn't it? Because, of course, we look left and right and then we can shrink back. But I think to not compare. But the second thing for me in that is to trust in God's call, that he has got a call on each of us, whether we're introvert, extrovert, whether we're good in language or we're not, you know, whatever it is, God's got a plan for each of us to use us in the places with the people that he has put around us. So it's just trusting, isn't it, that I think that God's got that call and he's got something for you to do in the way that you alone can do it and will do it. And that comes back to the not comparing, isn't it, because God's got a plan for each of us.
Thank you.
I was thinking of being kind. So in leadership training, they're talking about being kind is not, it's not saying what you need to say or what needs to be said. If someone needs to be picked up on something, then that's fine. But being kind in your honesty, and I just think kindness carries you through everything, doesn't it? And remembering that everyone's human, and always thinking the best of people. Because that's how you would want to be treated.
Thank you.
I think expectation. I think if we all have a feeling of expecting to see God working around us, and to value every interaction we have with people in our daily lives.
Mm. Thank you.
For me, it's very much also accepting which season I'm in, and to accept that God has different seasons in our lives for different things. And for me, that often means the mission field comes to my home, sort of in the form of carers who are perhaps not Christians, and sort of, you know, how I behave in my home and how I share the gospel and how I treat them, but also simply to, I often repeatedly ask myself, what would Jesus do in this situation? And sort of have my focus on him and, yeah, and just sort of prayerfully engage whatever the situation is, and just have that direct line of communication. Sorry, that was quite long.
Thank you. It's helpful. I think it's, as we all see, you know, the words that are coming is being aware, being intentional in doing and presenting God's truth. Now, as simple as that, if someone is talking to you, I'm not asking you to open the Bible and start preaching to them. Oh, you know, this is what Word of God says. But it's bringing those God's truth in your interactions. Being very intentional at that. Our response can naturally be, oh yeah, that's, I'm so sorry to hear what you're going through. Or our response can be, my dear friend, is it okay if I pray for your situation? You know, because that has been my experience. Being very intentional at that. Being aware of what's happening around you. Being aware of what people are saying, being aware of what people are going through, and presenting God's truth in their lives. But the last thing, the call to serve the Lord is also serving the church family. Because if this family doesn't get stronger, we would not be able to continue to encourage and develop godly family and godly centers in our cities and in our places. My dear church family, a call to serve is a call to life that is constantly 24/7 serving the Lord. Let's pray.